Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The church militant is an important aspect of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It even merits its own section in our hymnal. Of course, this notion of the church militant is sore abused. Doubtless, you might remember from the days of Sunday school and vacation Bible school that memorable little ditty, "I'm in the Lord's army, yes sir." And then there's the denominational offshoot from the Methodists, who wholly embraced this motif, notorious for their troop of holiday bell ringers, the Salvation Army. Talk of holy war and the Crusades often clouds the past and the present of Christianity. Yet this morning, we hear the words of St. Paul to St. Timothy, "Fight the good, the noble, the beneficial. Fight the good, fight the faith." Yes, St. Paul encourages us, like Timothy, to fight, agonizu. From the Gospels, we know that swords are of no use in this fight for the church. Rather, Christ himself comes to bring a sword to the earth. As Christians, our fight is one of resistance, holding firm and fast to the promises of God, not waging physical war on the world until Christians are the last ones standing like some long-winded inquisition. As pastors, the fight is even more dire, tending to the ever-errant flock and inherent temptations. As they were for St. Timothy, St. Paul's words of encouragement are for you, the church, but for her pastors. Professors, pastors of the future, near and distant. And for the use of reminding your own pastors, now and those to come, deaconess students, deaconesses, and also you, the laity. You, O men of God, in the faith which clings to eternal life, fight the good fight. St. Paul writes to St. Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life into which you were called and confessed the good confession before many witnesses." As Christians, of course, we are called to newness of life in the forgiveness of sins. We are God's own dear children, baptized into the death of Christ Jesus, receiving the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, as St. Paul wrote to another pastor. In this forgiveness, we are to die daily and rise daily in the newness of life. This is taking hold of eternal life. So too is your frequent reception of the Lord's body and blood. Taking hold of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins given for you in your mouth, in bread and wine. These sacraments, along with God's word, give us eternal life and strengthen us in this forgiveness and life in Christ. However, and there's always however, until death, you are always a sinner. Simul justus et peccator, simultaneously just a saint and sinner. So, you will never fight the good fight well enough. And you might be thinking to yourself, thanks for stating the obvious implied in the imperative. But think about it. Since sin clings to your very flesh until death, although you will swear or have sworn to keep the confessions and to norm your doctrine and your life by the sacred scriptures, you can't do it. No matter how hard you try, it will be impossible for you to always be confessional. That's a painful reality. You will or have made compromises that are more than just being all things for all people. You will, or you have, given up more ground than you ought. And it will not have always been for the sake of the gospel. The blessed Dr. Martin Luther wrote in his commentary on this verse, verse 12, "If the fight of faith, that is the battle which Timothy was having with heretics and all his adversaries, that is on behalf of faith or in the cause of faith, had been overcome, it would be the smallest temptation." The smallest temptation can overcome the fight of faith that is waged on behalf of our Holy Mother, the Church. Yet St. Paul here encourages St. Timothy, "Take hold of eternal life into which you were called and confessed the good confession before many witnesses." In faith, apart from works, apart from your merited knowledge of the confessions and the scriptures, you cling to the life that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Note that in taking hold, we do not abandon the scriptures or the confessions like some free fall, but rather in taking hold, you are remembering the good confession that you have made before many witnesses. This confession was handed over to you in your baptism. "Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty." It was handed over to you again in your confirmation. And it was even handed over to you in Confessions 1 with Dr. Scheer. "Credo in unum Deum Patrem Omnipotentem." I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. You will make this good confession again in your vows of ordination, or as you already have, and by the grace of God, you will make this good confession until the day you die, and are called home to be with him who witnessed before Pilate the good confession. St. John writes in his Passion account, "Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.'" Jesus bears witness to the truth. What is truth, you might ask with Pilate? Jesus also answers this question in St. John. "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus bears witness to himself that he is the Son of God, come into the world in the flesh to redeem sinners by his work of salvation in his death on the cross. This is the good confession that we swear to, but also the good confession by which we live. It is the article on which the Church stands or falls. Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem sinners, to redeem you by his death. He has done this and gives this forgiveness, the merit of his sacrifice to the world freely through his Church, through his pastors. Through Timothy, Jesus gave the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Through his preaching and teaching, his baptism and administration of the Lord's Supper. Here also, in this place, the gifts of Christ, the means of grace, are distributed to the Church, to you. You too will do this as pastors, many of you rather soon, in fact. And by these means, you will fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life, giving the Church also what, and more properly, whom she is to hold on to. Thus, there is comfort for all failings in the office and work of Christ. When we succumb to false doctrine, irreverent silly myths, deceitful spirits, and the teachings of demons, Christ is there with his gifts. Surely, through your office, he distributes these to the Church. And thanks be to God that his works are efficacious in spite of each one of us. But these gifts are here for you, too. In Christ there is forgiveness for you when you have failed, when false doctrine has replaced the gospel, when practices have obscured the gifts of the gospel. Forgiveness is meted out through God's word, through the absolution given you from your father confessor or your brother pastor, and from the supper at the altar. Forgiveness is here for you in Christ, that refreshed and enlivened, you would fight the good fight of faith. In the beginning of our pericope this morning, St. Paul writes, "But you, O man of God, flee these things. Rather, pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Flee these things. They are false doctrine and love of mammon. You are men of God, and you are also to be his under-shepherds. Reproof and encouragement are your duties, not love of money and false doctrine. Today it seems that these two always seem to go hand in hand. The famous preachers of today, they all have money. But what else do they have? False doctrine. A wrong confession. A wicked confession. They do not have the good confession. Rather, they pursue wickedness, impiety, faith in their works, love of themselves, patience for their own wills, and gentleness towards those who please them. We certainly always find these traits in the big names of the Christian book phenomena and the motivational preachers of our day. We even find them among the heathen, who don't parade around in sheep's clothing. But still, we find them among us. Even though we know what the good confession is, and know what the full sternness of the law feels like, and what the full sweetness of the gospel tastes like, we will be tempted to abandon the virtues which Christ gives through his Spirit, through the means of grace. Instead, we will try to abide in our own proud sources of knowledge and faith. This may indeed happen to any of us, but remember that St. Paul also tells Timothy in our pericope that the command to teach the gospel to the church and to administer God's gifts to his people is one which is to be kept spotless until the final coming in judgment of Christ. This is the harsh reality for the pastor. As the Lord says to Ezekiel, he also says to us, he will seek blood from our hands if we do not rightly preach the law and the gospel. By God's grace, you pastors and future pastors are here. You are at the seminary where you are continuously equipped with the proper tools to fight the good fight. Here, in addition to training in the law and the gospel, the scriptures and the confessions, the languages and our history, our dogmatics and our rich gospel traditions, here you receive God's gifts of grace. Through the Spirit, the Comforter, Jesus gives to you, his church, comfort and strength for the fight ahead. He gives you the words to speak. The Holy Scriptures reveal to us the truth which you are to preach and to teach, and the confessions exposit this faithfully for you to teach also to your people as well as fellow pastors. Thus, in Christ, you will go out from here equipped and strengthened, be it in 4 days, 1 year, 2 years or more. You will leave this seminary to join in the fight, the preaching and teaching of the law and the gospel, and Christ will be with you. You cannot do it alone. He is with you always until he comes again, preserving and strengthening his church with his good grace and Spirit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.